Okay, guys, we gotta put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show is hump day and Survivor's on tonight.
All right.
Things are looking up, man. We've even got a little happy hour going tonight from 5:30 to 7:30. Blondie's Bar in San Francisco. It's at 540 Valencia Street. If you head over there, you've got a chance to win an Alice in Wonderland VIP concert ticket. So it's not just tickets to the Alice in Wonderland show at the Masonic, but also passes to the pre-party with Sarah and Vinny. There are still tickets available for the show. Uh-huh. You can get them at livenation.com. But why don't you head over to Valencia Street?
Blondie's is a great bar.
Have you hung out there much?
Yeah. And actually, we've done, back a few years back, we did an event there.
Oh.
Like a bar night.
Yeah.
And I love sitting. It's one of those places where the front windows open up, and you can sit like right there and watch
it's
people.
So beautiful, yeah, the weather. Really, what a nice thing to do. So 5:30 to 7:30 today, just as the sun's setting.
Ooh.
It'll be lovely. Join Alice for happy hour tonight, and you might walk out of there with passes to the Sarah and Vinny pre-party and then tickets to Alice in Winterland. I'm reading through all the we got a lot of good emails today for The Secret Show. That's a podcast we do in addition to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find that at RadioAlice.com.
Some good problems?
Yeah, some good problems.
If there's such a thing.
Yeah. This one's a doozy. I don't know what you're going to do about this, but we'll hash it all out for you and give you terrible advice. So
I'll help you handle it.
Yeah.
I'm good at this stuff.
Oh, my God. Unfortunately, Hooman's not here to hit a home run.
Oh, bummer. Hooman's not here.
Hooman.
Hooman, boy.
Hooman's
on
a Christian retreat.
He is. Up in your neck of the woods.
Right.
Hanging out in the redwoods over there.
I'm happy for him.
I'm hoping he's having a great time. I hope he's finding the spiritual
guidance he needs, he's looking for.
Whatever it is he's out there looking for.
He's climbing the ladder there at the church nicely. Good
you
for him.
You should drop by.
I don't think
I
should.
See if you can't give him a little boost.
I don't think that's going to help him. And he really does. I'm glad he finds, you know, great joy in the church.
It's great. I wanted to read
this. It's helped him. You know.
Oh, my God, yes.
You may not know
Imagine
this.
Imagine him without the church.
And I usually get branded the angry one on the show. But, man, that dude used to be so hostile.
Mm.
Like, really revenge-driven on everything.
He was a guy who would never let go of a grudge.
Uh-huh.
And he's done that workbook.
And he's done
found some forgiveness.
He's done a lot better.
Mm. So, aren't we all growing up on this show?
I don't know. Are we?
Yes, we are.
Oh, good.
Father of two, homeowner. Oh, right. Yes, we are.
Sure.
Yeah. I want to read you an email. As you may be aware, we have a relationship with Alan at Bananas at Large. And just with the kids at Bananas at Large.
Alan!
Woo, woo!
Hello.
Bananas.
I love those guys.
Yeah, they're just solid people. And he's done so much. Every year he brings by carolers. And he was the guy who made Neil Schoenschein come to the studio.
Yeah.
One of the best days of my life. And he's, I mean, every instrument that we play in here is, you know, thanks to Bananas at Large. And he's just, I just want to share this email. Hello, Sarah. I feel super compelled to share a quick story with you. On the 4th of November, my grandfather had his guitar studio broken into and his entire collection of over 70 years was taken in the blink of an eye.
Oh.
He not only spent all his free time there, but taught students of all ages. Because we live in the world of social media, I posted on Facebook, and in the last day and a half, it's been shared 3,000 times. Alan at Bananas at Large came across it and messaged me. He was so saddened by this that he is donating a couple guitars to my grandfather so he can continue to teach. Alan was so generous to offer such a thing and really just wanted to keep us believing in the community of music.
Aww.
His pride has nothing to do with it. But I really wanted to let you guys know how wonderful your friends are. Thanks for keeping me laughing from Amanda.
Alan rules.
Sweet.
Good
Isn't
job,
that
Alan.
Great? He comes across that and goes, this guy needs to have a couple guitars.
Yeah.
Just that has got to be so heartbreaking. I mean, your guitar, it's just a thing and it's, you know, but it's your thing and especially one that you might have had for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible. And, you know, people who are passionate about collecting guitars or, you know, into music in general, like he probably had some super special ones or ones that he played on stage at a certain time, or every guitar I'm sure in his collection had a story.
You know, I'm going to grab that from you.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. So her post has been shared and Alan saw it and stepped right up. Nice work, Alan.
Way to go, buddy.
I may see you later today. John's really sick. I might have to drop Sean off for his internship.
Oh, they're moving too, by the way. I think next week is the big, I should say the soft grand opening for their new location.
I see.
Bananas at Large is moving. Oh, I don't have the address. Sorry.
It's right there on Miracle Mile, though. It's I don't believe it's too far from where they're
It's right around
currently.
The corner.
Okay.
But there'll be parking. Which is going to be
which
great.
Which is nice. I know. Sometimes it's very hit or miss in that area of San Rafael. Sometimes it's like, oh, pull right in. Other times I'm like, get out. I'm going to circle. Just text me when you're ready and I'll come pick you up.
1654 2nd Street in San Rafael.
Oh, all right. Great. Breaking Bad. What year did Breaking Bad end?
What year is this, 18? I'm going to say it ended in 12.
Oh, actually 13. I felt like it ended in 2016. I felt like it just ended. So I was like, 2013? Holy cow. But no, it's been done for 5 years. And not only is there a movie in the works, it starts filming this week.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Variety's confirming that the series creator, Vince Gilligan, is working on a new film. They're calling it With Ties to the Beloved series. It's a 2-hour film. It's unclear whether it's going to go to movie theaters or if it'll wind up just on television. Not a whole lot of details. No information on what shape the movie would take. Like, would it be a prequel like Better Call Saul or something else? It also is not clear whether or not any of the Breaking Bad stars are returning. But it's a Breaking Bad movie that I don't have a whole lot of other details on. The Albuquerque Journal is, they say the film, quote, tracks the escape of a kidnapped man and his quest for freedom. The Journal also reports that the title is Greenbrier, although whether that's a working title or a final title is not known. But production is scheduled to begin mid-November through early February. So it's gotten to the point where they're about to show it's been cast and they're going to shoot it. So if you're a huge Breaking Bad fan, perhaps this is good news for you. I'm not sure how it all ended up. My suspicion is everyone died. I didn't watch the end of it, but that
I didn't see the end either.
Really
I did
like
see
the only.
The
don't
end
say.
Of,
don't say.
I'm not. I was gonna I'm say. Right I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I should
oh
watch
my
the
goodness!
Whole thing.
It wasn't even that long. Vaughn and I used to discuss it all the time. He loves Breaking Bad, and I would have him fill me in on what. Gonna happen, and I totally forgot.
Oh yeah, I remember now. I'm not gonna say though.
Yeah, don't say.
It was I actually like the ending as opposed to like Dexter. You know, Dexter.
Dexter was hella weak.
Kind of a disappointment, but
yeah,
Dexter was a bummer.
It is important how a show ends.
Yeah.
When it goes out.
But like Sopranos. Remember how weak that was? They all end up in the cafe.
Yeah, and then the lights just go out, and you're left to wonder what the f happened.
Yeah,
I just think like Dexter in particular was so strong, and then it got junky at the end. Mm. Yeah. Oh well. But the first few seasons, can't beat it.
Yeah.
So it's still worth it.
Daryl Hall.
Daryl,
hi.
How are you?
Of Hall & Oates fame has for years had a, I don't know what you call it, like a video podcast, like a little video episodic that you can find online called Live from Daryl's House. And when it started, I'm not sure what state he was in or where it was, but people would travel to his home, and it was a farm. Like, he had set up a barn, like the most lavishly beautiful barn you've ever seen, like very rustic, but just gorgeous. And he would have learned a couple of this artist's songs, and the artist would have learned a couple of Hall & Oates songs or Daryl Hall songs, and they would eat dinner together and jam. And there were a million cameras. It was a beautifully produced thing. The CeeLo Green one is excellent. There's a Matt Nathanson one that's great. But he's had a zillion people on there. And I was so bummed out when he sold that. He sold the whole thing. So the studio's gone. All that's gone. And he moved to a place. I want to say it was like in Pennsylvania.
This was in New York.
The original was in New York?
Looks like it.
This one, you know, they're not actually saying where this is. But I've watched. Here's the thing. He buys this new house. And I want to say it was in Pennsylvania, but I could be insane. I don't know. Connecticut, maybe. somewhere East Coast-ish. He buys a big farm spread, and his new show was something like Daryl's Hammer, you know. It was a rehab show. He loves to refurbish houses, so he took this house and they would go room by room, and it would be like a project. And it had a very cute name, sort of a punny thing based on Daryl and building. But it escapes me right now. But I watched this house get redone. I saw a lot of what they had done to it, and I wasn't positive this was the same house. But as I looked through the pictures, I'm like, yep.
Daryl's Restoration Overhaul.
That's it. There it is. So Daryl Hall, but Restoration Overhaul.
Oh, very cute.
Very cute.
I was actually looking at that and thought, that can't be it.
Right. That was it. So that was a show that actually aired for a while. Uh-huh. And then he had bought a place down the street, because instead of doing he still wanted to do the live from Daryl's house, but he was going to do it live from Daryl's bar, basically. I'm not sure if that ever wound up happening or not. But he bought like a little club down close to where
Daryl's house club?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Maybe.
Yeah, I
and
think
he
it's
redid
just a
that
restaurant
whole thing.
And music.
This
right.
is also in New York, the Powling, New York.
Oh well, then maybe this other house is in New York as well.
It says restaurant and music club.
Well, he is now sick of all these places.
Oh, God.
I'm not sure what he's doing with the club, but he is selling the 18th century home that he redid. He wants $16 million for it. You're getting
so they're just north of the city. They're not that far.
Okay. Is that where the house is that's currently on the market?
That's Daryl's house club. Hold on.
Yeah, it's possible he's like over the line in Connecticut or something. I want to say it wasn't New York, but anyway, here's some pictures. You've got to flip through this. It's just
the first place he did his show from was Millerton, New York.
Okay.
And I don't know where that is specific to. Let me see if I can find it on.
Well, it was always very, you know, they'd go in the winter and they'd be trudging through thigh-high snow to get to the... It was really a great show. This next one that he did, you know, maybe it was New York. But either way, it's some East Coast thing. It might have been right over the line in Connecticut or something. But flip through those. You've got to look at those pictures, Vinny. There's like, he's built a building that looks like an old school barn. Or maybe it was a barn and he just dug a pool into it.
It does look like a barn, yeah.
Yeah, because he's just it's so magnificent. Listen, if you've got $17 million to spend, I highly recommend this.
Awesome.
He does a great job. Everything he did was, you know, class A, because he's got that kind of money.
Yeah.
So the first place, Millerton, New York, is farther north than the place, the new club. That first place, Millerton, is past Poughkeepsie.
Okay.
Farther north.
So I think that the second place, because I think the club is near this particular home that he had redone. Not maybe next door or anything, but certainly nearby enough that he was able to go there regularly.
Yeah.
Because they had featured some of the reno on the club as well.
This is like a lodge.
Dude, it's unreal. It's so beautiful.
Super
it's
comfy
just
and cozy.
Gorgeous. And it comes with a ton of land, too. Not just what you're seeing there, but out into the forest as well. Really, really pretty.
It looks like the next live from Daryl's house is coming December 15th. And it's going to be with Kenny Loggins.
Oh, I wonder if he has repeat visitors ever. I haven't watched it in a long time.
Man, this place
dude,
is
it's
like,
just gorgeous. It's
you
exactly
don't
what you want.
Anyone near your house with a match or a lighter or a cigarette. It's all wood.
Yep.
Everything is like, it's so cozy and mm-hmm. cabiny and rustic, but ooh.
It's a tinder box.
It's a tinder box. It's just yikes.
Yeah.
Wood floor. Oh, man.
It's gorgeous.
What's that stuff you like?
Shiplap?
Shiplap is everywhere, too.
Yeah. John Mayer has some friends, and he played at their wedding.
Oh, how'd that go?
Really well, actually.
They still like each other?
After the wedding, yes. So
the couple, I mean.
Yeah, I think so. They just got married.
Oh, okay.
So this woman, Danielle Fishel.
Oh, yeah. She's from Boy Meets World.
Right. So she's a star in her own right. And she married a guy named Jensen Karp. So she's Danielle Karp now.
And I think she hosted Talk Soup for a minute there. She was all right.
Well, she was lucky enough to have a special performer at her reception this past weekend. John Mayer's a longtime friend. And he was also a groomsman at the wedding. And he sang a cover of Beyonce's XO for their first dance together. We have a little bit of that, but it turns out he actually recorded this years ago.
Yes, yeah, and we have the full version too, but the Instagram video here is kind of short. Here it is.
Okay. Oh, is this, so they took it and they set a little video to it.
Yeah.
Aren't they darling? That's so cute. So that's just him performing at the...
Yeah, I didn't recognize the name, Danielle Fisher, but I know her as Topanga.
Yeah, oh. Topanga, exactly.
So you recognized her from Boy Meets World when you saw the pictures of her.
Love that show. Cute.
And then do you have the actual recorded version of the Beyonce cover that
here
he
it
did?
Is. All right. Do you want to compare it to Beyonce's?
Oh, sure. That's a great idea.
It is. All right. Jump ahead a little bit. A little bit different, right? So the lyrics are the same for the most part.
Yeah, he's got just a sweet acoustic take on it.
With a harmonica.
Yeah, weirdly. she wrote, she was really grateful for his performance, John Mayer's performance at her wedding, Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World. She wrote, "His immense talent is only overshadowed by his humor, his heart, his sincerity, his loyalty, his candor, and his generous spirit." John
Mayer.
He's
the best.
Not the jerk you think he is. and then we'll end with this. It's up in the air whether or not this will be great or not. But we've got, kids, there was this show called The Benny Hill Show.
I love Benny Hill.
Oh, me too. And it was just
and
like
that poor
goofy,
bald old man who always got the back of his head slapped.
Yeah. Right.
And the naked lady in the grocery car.
Well, there's
the
always
dumb
boobs.
Skits.
I mean, when we were little kids, we're like, big boobs are on TV.
Well, they'd show it on PBS, and it was an English show, and they just had a whole different sensibility. But it was a pretty funny, dumb little show.
It was. My mom used to let us stay up and watch it. We thought she was the
coolest. The Benny Hill Show. So there's the theme. It's happening right now. And that's been mashed up with Slayer's Angel of Death.
I love Slayer.
Yeah. So let's see if you love this mashup. Here we go.
Well, they kind of just removed all the music from Slayer's song.
And just... Okay.
Well, that's one way to wake up.
She's yelling things at me. Everyone wake up. It's 8:30 for God's
sake.
All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
No idea.
All right.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Happy hump day. God, it's gorgeous outside. Look at that sky. It's like so crisp looking.
It is.
It's really nice. Happy fall, everybody. And happy Survivor Day as well. Coming up at 9 o'clock. And then also at 11, 1, 3, and 5, we have chances for you to win your way into Alice in Wonderland, presented by Bud Light Plus. Passes into the exclusive Sarah and Vinny pre-party before the show. We literally are up on a balcony looking down on everyone else. Don't you want to join us? I know. So if you don't get tickets, look up. Alice in Wonderland is at the Masonic on December 6th, and we'd love for you to be there. So 9, 11, 1, 3, and 5, your chances to win this prize package.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the Bay Club, where every day is a getaway. Learn more and plan your visit at bayclubhappy.com. Here's what's happening. All right, I'll do a quick little rundown of some of the stuff that happened when we voted. The Democrats and Republicans both declared victory as the Democrats took control of the House. Republicans did well in their Senate races and also in a couple of governor's races, but Gavin won here in California. Boy, we mention him because we've known him so long, but the texters... There's some people that are passionately on the other side of that story.
Yeah, they are.
So, woof.
Yeah, take it easy.
Try not to cuss.
Yes. I mean...
Yeah, we're just people. He's a friend of ours, and right. As much as he's a smarmy politician, his heart is in the right place.
Year-round daylight savings time? Maybe. People voted for it.
Yeah.
Also, that Prop C, which was going to tax big business here in San Francisco, passed, and hopefully... We'll be doing some good for the homeless here in the city because they need it.
It's hard.
That's clear.
It's such a funny
problem. I mean, it's not funny at all, but it's just an odd problem because throwing money at it doesn't seem to be the answer. It's not like you could give each of them $1 million and have all their problems go away. That's not generally the reason they're on the street.
I told you about Georgia's historic governor's race where Oprah was even going door to door, apparently, to help Democrat Stacey Abrams win. And she did not. But they're still counting the votes. They say that Republican Brian Kemp has declared himself the winner.
Mm-hmm.
She says, no, it's too close to call. So they're waiting. She's definitely not conceding.
No, she's not.
Kemp is just shy of 51%. Abrams and her campaign say there are enough ballots outstanding to spur a runoff in December. And Kemp is expressing his confidence that eventually there'll be a win. So we'll see there. The Nevada brothel owner and reality TV star who died last month, Dennis Hoff.
Yeah.
He won his race.
Yeah. By a landslide.
Yep.
They even had, did you see the pictures? They had huge posters pasted up saying, this guy's on the ballot, but he is deceased.
Mm-hmm.
So county officials are going to appoint a Republican to take his place.
Oh.
So basically the Republican Party won in that town is what that's telling us.
So they can just appoint someone without doing more voting?
Mm-hmm. Looks like it.
There would probably be some kind of special election at some point, but somebody's got to fill that seat in the meantime, right?
Yeah.
Sale of flavored tobacco vaping products banned in Marin County, they're saying, and they've still got plenty of time. So one of the stories you told earlier is a product you've been using
for 10 years
to keep you off of cigarettes. This
just closed up shop with no advance warning, with nothing. Just, it's gone. It's over.
Flavored tobacco and vaping products will be banned from Marin County store shelves in a matter of months. So there's no way that's related to what happened to your products, right?
I have no idea.
Is your product local?
No, it's does not seem to be. It certainly does seem to be from out of state. I don't know where. I just go to the internet and say, please send me this.
Lawmakers are hoping that by banning these products, it'll curb the surge in teen use of these products. The ban includes e-cigs, menthol cigs, and other nicotine tobacco products. So I actually am for that. I hate to see any, you know, I smoked. I started smoking really young. I liked it when I was a smoker, but I also was ashamed of it because it's stupid. It's smoke. Now, these aren't necessarily that, but it is addiction.
It is.
However you want to sell it to somebody,
and they hook
you're
you
selling
nicotine,
them addiction.
You will wind up smoking. I'm just super bummed because I felt like, look, I'm sure neither is very healthy, but I know vaping is healthier than smoking.
I'm looking at their little message. God, it's so tiny. Some of it says, as you're aware, our industry is the subject of an increasingly challenging environment. In addition, our products are the target of tariffs that will drastically alter our cost structure and profitability.
And that's a particular brand.
You're actually looking at the V2 website?
Yeah, I went to the website and they have this big note.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just don't want to get back on cigarettes. Well, don't you think I am still totally addicted to nicotine.
Well, so listen, it's not your fault, but it's an opportunity for you to try some new stuff out, see what's out there. Maybe, you know, buy a couple different brands, see what's good.
Well, unfortunately, I'll have to leave Marin to do that. So,
yeah,
great, I get to travel all over the world to find this thing I need.
Looks like they closed shop November 2nd.
Mm. Yeah, and I got the notice yesterday, several days later. I wish they'd told me the night before so I could have gone and bought everything they had there.
Yikes.
I know. I'm worried about it. I'm having some real anxiety over it. It was absolutely the way that I was getting my nicotine without having to smoke cigarettes. And I'm nervous because I am addicted to nicotine.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You'd quit for how long completely, right? For a while, didn't you? You had two babies.
7 years, yeah.
No smoking at all?
No.
Even the cheating stuff? You weren't cheating?
I didn't cheat.
Because cigarette smokers are just like drug addicts. They're weaselly cheaters. I did it all the time.
Absolutely.
I would go and buy a pack, take one out, smoke it, break all of the rest of the pack, throw them in the trash, put stuff on top of it, and an hour later, I'd be pulling all that stuff out and
trying to reconstruct one.
Twisting a broken cigarette together by hollowing out one side to get the other side in.
It's just insidious. It's incredibly addictive. It's very, very... Listen, you know, if you've ever known a smoker, man, we spend our entire lives trying to quit smoking.
Right.
Once you're in, and so the only thing I can say to kids is, I'm actually glad it'll be harder for you to get these things in your hands, because that's all that the tobacco companies are trying to do, is get you addicted to nicotine. That is the whole point behind any of that vape stuff. It's great as an alternative to smoking, but that's because I was already addicted. Like, do yourself a favor, don't be anyone's bitch your whole life,
right.
And especially not some tobacco company. Oh, God, I'm so bummed.
Food comas.
Oh, I love those.
You love them?
Put me in one right now. Yeah. I just ate. They're only good, though, if you really can just sit down afterward.
Yeah.
You know,
you
I just want
to
sit. If I have to go do something, I'll try to.
Or drive somewhere. Ugh.
Oh, so tired. Mm.
According to a new study, the average American spends 213 hours a year in a food coma.
Mm.
That's an entire 9 days.
Doesn't sound long enough.
After we eat a super heavy meal with lots of meat and carbs, it takes an average of 1 hour and 22 minutes before we feel sharp and ready to work or really do anything.
Mm. I just want to sit here for a while.
I do get that from the Thanksgiving dinner. I mostly get it from macaroni because I always overeat macaroni.
Who wants to stop eating that?
But most things I don't ever really eat to the point where I'm like...
Isn't turkey like a Thanksgiving thing? Doesn't it
actually?
Yeah, it actually has something in it that makes you physically tired. Is that in a lot of food, tryptophan?
No.
I don't know.
They say the most common foods that knock us out are burgers, pizza, mashed potatoes, burritos, fries, hot dogs. Hot dogs.
Keep talking.
Tacos.
Oh, what else?
Cheese and potato chips.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you just end the list
I
got the sexy music?
Sorry,
God,
buddy.
You're turning me on over
go
here.
Go back over and do
go,
it slow.
Just read the whole list again, but do it a little bit slower.
And sexier. Put your sexy on.
Burgers.
Mm.
Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mashed potatoes.
More.
With butter and gravy.
Uh-huh.
What else?
Burritos.
Mm.
Fries.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit well done, please.
Hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I love hot dogs. Oh, give me that hot dog. Put it in my bun.
We're done with this.
Oh, that's okay. Damn it.
Well, thanks, Finn. Whew. I'm all hot now.
Damn.
Whew, my head is hot.
Mm. Can you get to the desserts, please?
I don't have any of that.
Just say so. And say some of the good desserts. Cinnamon rolls. Hot fudge brownie sundae.
Mm-hmm.
Strawberry shortcake.
Oh.
No, nothing?
I don't. I'm going to.
You know,
What is your problem?
I hear you playing those things. I'm like, what on earth were we talking about? That was my response.
Almost anything, Sarah.
Yeah. Men?
Yes.
Men,
what about
men,
you?
Men.
You should start a family before you are 35 to avoid risks.
Oh, wow. What risks?
Of any kind of risk to the unborn baby.
Oh.
So one of the things, and I am an older parent, and I know of all the conversations that you have about whatever the risks may be, whether it's Down syndrome or autism, much of this stuff is... not defined.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that you'll read one study and it'll say, don't have the babies too close together. And another study will say, don't have the babies too far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like that second family thing. So
yeah.
There's so much of this different stuff that you find yourself going, do we really want to do this? And if we're going to, then we're taking on whatever the risks
are.
Period. That's what. And you can do the tests. I mean, there are tests you can take, but what they're saying here, men should start a family before the age of 35 to avoid the risks to their unborn babies. Often, because a woman's egg or that we've been told that a woman's age is the big factor in whether or not a baby is at risk. Mm-hmm. And those are the tests that are done to a woman. What is it? The first trimester?
Mm-hmm. Amniocentesis. And
right. A study tracking 40 million babies found the risk of birth complications start to increase when fathers are in their mid-30s and significantly rise from the age of 45.
Oh.
For decades, women have been told they will put their children at risk if they pursue a career first or leave it until they're older to have a family. But now it looks like the studies are showing men have responsibility in this as well.
Right.
So it's something to think about. Often, I can't speak for all men, but I know that I found myself just in a position where I wasn't with anyone, and it completely left the table, mm-hmm. and only came up because of the current relationship I'm in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I had stopped completely.
Well, your 30s were a bit of a lost decade
wild.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had.
Yep.
It all came apart, and I had to put it all back together, and that took a minute. Anyway, that's something to think about if you're out there and you're wondering, you know, if you've got all the time in the
right.
world.
Guys, they say guys' biological clocks don't tick like women's do. Turns out maybe they do.
Similar.
Right. Mm-hmm. Although you do hear about these Mick Jagger had, and was it Tony Randall who had?
Yeah, like at 74
Yeah, 74,
or
75
yeah.
years old, he fathered a kid.
Uh-huh. Whoa. What was that?
It was a little gurgle.
Oh.
I was awing earlier, so it, yeah, that
stirred it up.
Yeah, I guess so. My throat's been so wrecked anyway lately.
How about a fast fact?
I love a fast fact, Vincent.
Hey, Vinny, quit pushing the buttons.
Yeah.
The on, sound Brent. Of most toilet flushes is in the key of E flat.
What?
Really?
I figured you both would like that one, huh. since you two are always.
What note? I'm not picking a note up.
All right, let me give you an E flat. Give me a second. Here's E flat.
I'm saying that's a half step lower.
All right. Our text number is 800-400-369.
It's a weird fast fact.
That's
like
strange.
Just, that's kind of like a crispy, almost a percussive sound. Not doesn't really have
right.
a note. Oh, that kind of had a note a little bit.
Yeah,
and
it did.
The water refilling.
The Dirty Heads did an episode of Daryl's House. It's so good. Dirty Heads are excellent.
You should watch a couple episodes. I've seen one of them.
I can't remember the one I saw.
It's so good. They're just, it's, you know, these just.
Oh, I saw the
musicians.
One with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Oh, I didn't see that one. You should look at the Dirty Heads. You like the Dirty Heads.
Yeah, I love them. My kid loves
yeah,
them,
I can
too.
Actually picture you getting into Daryl's house and then come in and be like, I watched 40 episodes of it yesterday.
The finale of Breaking Bad was the most satisfying ending of any series I have ever seen, says 831.
I know it was good. I just can't remember. Vaughn,
you didn't ask anybody after the last break?
No, I was working.
Right.
Vaughn, I'll ask you right now. He has to remind me.
Don't please don't
I remember
give it away.
It was great.
I still haven't seen it.
You're never going to get to it,
I will. I will get to it
someday.
We've
got to Mad Men.
I know.
Oh, my chick's mowing through Mad Men
oh,
right
really?
Now like crazy. She loves it, but she's seeing all that
boys club stuff.
Well, women in the workplace stuff, which oh, she's, some
cheated,
of which
yeah.
she's dealt with, and others even worse than anything she's dealt with.
Mm.
It's something to see. No matter who you are,
right.
you can learn from it. Like, dang, just watching it, you go, oh my God.
Sick.
Right. And it's just the way it is.
The way it was.
Right.
One of the scenes,
on
though,
the show.
Yeah.
when, is it Peggy?
Uh-huh, Peggy Olson.
Peggy walks in and goes, I have found a new job. And he's...
Don Draper's
been her mentor and brought her along in a lot of ways. And they're very close and they have a weird relationship.
Yeah.
And she goes...
But never slept together.
Right. They're not doing that. So she goes, I have found a new job. And she's trying to hold herself together. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're right. You picked the right time to ask for a raise. What do you want? And she's like, no, you're not listening to me. I've taken a new job. and he's like, he takes her hand, and there's some conversation I'm missing. He takes her hand, and he's actually starting to cry as he holds her hand to his forehead, like she's leaving him, you know? And yeah. he can't, and this guy is such a cad and someone you don't like for so many reasons, yep. and then he has these moments where you're like...
He is human.
He's just... He's
the
like,
jerk is human.
And she's trying not to come undone as uh-huh. this is her moment to take a stand and get the hell out. And it's there's so many neat conflicts like that where you're like, oh my God, they did such a good job with this.
Yeah,
I'm crying. It
I
is know, just,
I,
gotta, just
I think I'll watch
job.
That one before Breaking Bad.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You it's actually good. Made me kind of tear up just then.
Aww.
Oh, well, it's neat,
that
these
was
relationships.
Nice job retelling.
Oh, that. Well, and I missed part of it, but I
Doesn't
just.
Doesn't matter. You got the best. You got the big yeah. parts.
It's really sad how Benny Hill died alone in his last days.
Did he?
I don't know much about how he died.
Someone else said something really negative about Benny Hill. Let me see if I can find that. Well, actually, I'll tell you on the other side
okay.
of these.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.